what's poppin', Sunday night people? Monday morning people. It's the Skeleton Crew. Mark's here.
Devil's Night people.
Ah, yes. Those two.
I mean Angel's Night, I'm sorry.
It's so angelic trying to get people to stop burning down the city. Isn't that nice?
Devil's Night just doesn't sound badass.
Hell yeah.
Kinda
even
cool.
The Devil's Night crew. I mean, why? Are you kidding anybody? You're basically telling the arsonists to take the night off. They're dying to burn the fucking city down.
Fires were down by 3, 17 last year, 14 so far. On day one, apparently it's a multi-day thing now. Did you know that?
Yeah, they always tend to wrap it around a few days.
So Devil's Night's become a multi-day celebration.
Multi-day arson-abration, yes. Jace here from Plymouth. I'm Drew from Ferndale. This is the Drew and Mike Podcast. And my, what a weekend. What a sporgy weekend.
Yeah, kind of exhausting in a way.
Yeah, it was a bit exhausting. I mean, it wasn't enough to be disappointed watching the Cubs lose last night 7-2 after, of course, the big afternoon event. Had to watch Clemson and Florida State, which was a fight to the finish.
I'm telling you, you missed some things, too.
Because I know.
You missed Nebraska, Wisconsin, Boise State in Wyoming, yeah, which was
explain
phenomenal.
What happened at the end of that game. I don't think a lot of people saw that.
It was 28-28, and Mark Rippon's, I think it's his nephew's quarterback for Boise, and the guy's rolling out, and the Wyoming guy just comes in and goes, boom, and punches the ball as he goes back to throw it,
uh-huh.
And the ball just goes sailing out of the back for a safety. But this officiating crew took forever to call the safety, so there's like five guys standing in front of the refs doing this. Dance.
Mark was just humping in a circular motion.
I was telling you what they did.
Well, he had the safety sign up.
So then there were, then they punted off, or they did an onside kick, of course, because Boise wanted the ball back. And there was the longest delay for an inadvertent whistle, and it just took forever for the last 3 minutes to go.
Oh, Christ.
So, and then after that game was Tennessee, South Carolina, which.
Yeah, I know you were upset about that because 4th and 3 with 46 seconds left. Was it South Carolina didn't go for it?
No, they didn't go for it. They took a delay of game and punted it, which is the absolute wrong thing to do there.
But the punt was caught on the 14, so they got 6 more yards than you normally seem to do in those circumstances.
I suppose, but you're giving the other team the ball.
And Tennessee couldn't do better than get a 58-yard. No. Did they have any timeouts, by the way?
No, they had to burn them all on that previous drive, which is why I guess they figured they might as well punt it.
But in college, 46 seconds is forever.
I know, which is funny. You take that in contrast with what happened in Northwestern Ohio State, where Ohio State had 3rd and 7 with like 3.5 minutes? Because Northwestern elected to kick a field goal to make it 24-20.
Right. And that was when you texted me and said Northwestern's not really trying to score here, and I totally agreed.
They weren't. They were going to settle for a field goal. And they never got the ball back because Urban Meyer was aggressive and actually threw the ball on 3rd and 7 and then on 3rd and 10 ran a quarterback draw off a fake screen, which was a brilliant call.
By the way, a side note on Urban Meyer. Did you see someone put a Michigan flag in the Meyer's front yard?
Shelley was not happy.
No, shit, they broke the law. They were trespassing. And there's something about flags in their neighborhood, too.
So. It's a tiny flag. It's like a utility flag you would mark for gas lines.
You know, grow up. Jesus, get over it. It's a rivalry. It's
Ambien.
It's supposed to be fun. Yeah, wow. get an Ambien. Ask Urban for an Ambien.
He protects those like crazy.
They call him Irving or Urban?
Irving.
Urban. Who names their kid Urban, by the way?
Magic Urban Meyer.
His name is really Urban?
Yeah, I suppose. Oh, let's see.
Magic Urban Meyer. I think I like that.
That's so stupid. I don't know why he's named Urban. I'm sure somebody out there does. That is a dumb name.
It's just ridiculous.
Urban Frank. Oh, here you go. This is the reason why. He's a third.
Well, but nobody names their kid Urban anymore. And, I mean, Urban's the kind of person, if someone's named Urban, I expect that they will be over 80.
Well,
at the youngest, they'll be 80. But the absolute youngest.
But it's been this weird family name, apparently.
Okay.
Urban Frank Meyer the third.
I think Michigan is going to hand it to Ohio State. I know you probably don't want to hear that, but...
I'll listen to that all day. I don't believe it yet.
They just don't look that good.
Yeah, but there's still a lot of talent on there. There's still a full month.
There always is. But, you know, they lost a lot of talent, too. I just don't think they're gelling.
My fear, though, is still that game is on the road, and that was kind of my fear with Michigan State, because even under Harbaugh... You take Rutgers out of it. They haven't played that great on the road. When you think of Indiana last year, you think of Minnesota last year, which were both wins, right? But they did not play well in those games. So they haven't been the best road team. And that kind of, you know, kind of worry about that in a way.
Well, who have they put in the road this year?
This year, Rutgers and Michigan State.
That's right. Those are the only two road games.
Five at home.
Michigan State, that game was over at halftime. It was 27-10. Michigan State was not going to come back and win that game, as much as you tried to argue with me via text all day. I'm going, okay, is it over now? Because I declared the game over when it was 14-7.
Totally messing with you. You're like, admit it's over now. I'm like, nope. See? And every time State scored in the fourth, it's like, see?
When it was 24-10, I just thought, State takes so long to score. Their offense is so limited. There's no way they're coming. They're just not going to be a comeback team, not against Michigan.
I am so glad he is getting shit, Mark D'Antoni, for kicking that field goal that they missed, because that was absolutely the wrong thing to do.
I know. Well, there was no great decision there.
You have
to keep yourself three scores behind when you're three scores behind makes no sense.
You're taking a three-possession
game. I'd punt it before I try a field goal. I don't know about that. No, that's crazy, too.
I would throw it in the end zone.
Yeah, of course, because you can connect in the end zone.
You could get a foul. You get a pass interference.
What yard line were they on? Like 25 or 23.
It was a lengthy field goal. But you don't know. You can get a penalty on the other team. So many things can happen. I'd rather just throw it up in the end zone.
I thought the play before the half, the pass interception, was as bad. Why you would be throwing the ball with 39 seconds and no timeouts against that defense?
You heard his explanation, right?
It was supposed to be a screen pass, right?
Totally threw him under the bus. I mean, he's right.
He's a fifth-year senior.
The player didn't do something he was supposed to do.
I think we kind of needed that explanation.
And then the ultimate, to go for two when there was no reason to, just to be...
Well, that was comical.
Just to be a dick.
What happened was absolutely comical.
I was cackling with glee at that moment.
You know, the cool thing about it is it's another great piece of video of Jabril Peppers in terms of getting him some national publicity, because I noticed as I was watching highlights, a lot of people played that.
Yeah, and they also showed, without context either, though, the two fourth down stops he had. He had two major fourth down stops.
Oh, the sack. That was fourth down.
Yes.
Yeah, great play. No, he's a he's what a great player he is. Holy cripe.
I know. Do you expect him? People like to argue that he's not a Heisman candidate because he just doesn't have the stats.
I would not, before the season, I would have said, oh, stop, he's not a Heisman candidate. But I now feel he's definitely a Heisman candidate because he's going to score 8 or 9 touchdowns.
I believe he has more touchdowns than Woodson has.
How many touchdowns does he have?
4, I think.
Okay, so he should score 7 or 8 touchdowns.
Yeah, oh, he could.
It'd be nice if he could get a couple interceptions, or a few more interceptions, but nobody's probably throwing his way.
This is the other thing. He's not a defensive back, and people keep calling
him that's true, back. Yeah.
I mean, he will play slot.
So
he
athletic.
Play safety, yeah.
You know,
he needs
right
more
place.
Sacks and tackles for loss. But the
got
reason,
3.5 sacks. You know, he breaks up passes. He's just doing so many things. He's got a lot of tackles. How many tackles does he have?
A lot of tackles for loss, too.
Yeah. How many TFLs does he have?
I think he had 12 total. Or has 12 total.
Well, that's phenomenal for somebody who's not playing the line.
But I think he's a candidate. Well, he is a candidate because it typically goes to one of the best players on one of the best teams.
Well, he's the MVP on that team.
Exactly.
Nobody would argue that. I don't think any Michigan fans would argue that. He does so many things. You know what? He needs to break a couple more punts, which I think he will.
Yep.
Maybe a couple more sacks, 3 or 4 more offensive touchdowns, which I think he'll get. Also, maybe another 60-yard runs, which I think he'll get. I think he'll do all those things.
Well, he's got some, you know, stat-padding opponents coming up, so.
Well, he will not be forgotten whether he does, you know, win the Heisman or not. He's an incredible player. One of the best I've ever seen in college. He really is. Something else. God, he's so fast. He looks like he's in the wrong league.
Yeah, he's at a different speed. And it's not just foot speed. It's like he processes things faster.
The way he accelerates.
Yeah.
God, you know, that's really
seeing things so quick.
No, he's a smart player, really smart player. And, you know, it was a nice feature before the game, too, on game day.
Yeah, on his mom.
Yeah, very cool.
His dad is in prison.
Right. No, he's a strong, strong kid, and his mother's a strong lady, and, you know, I couldn't be happier for them that hopefully their life will be changing very soon. Paid a lot of, I'm sure they both paid a huge price for a tough life.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully that'll be over soon. I'm sure it will be, because he's going to be. And you know what? He was so cocky coming out of high school. And maybe it's Jim Harbaugh. Maybe it was his freshman year.
He's still a little cocky.
Yeah, he's still a little cocky.
He did do a backflip out of the victory formation.
Yeah, that was kind of cool, but yeah, probably shouldn't have done that. I don't know.
I don't care.
I just see him as he's definitely humbled. He seems humbled, and he seems, I don't know. Michigan's been really good for him, put it that way, in my opinion.
Hmm. Well, that monkey's off their back for a while.
Yeah. You know, I saw the story, The Tide Has Turned, which I tweeted about because I thought that was kind of obnoxious. I don't think it's really fair to D'Antonio to say the tide has turned. Now, I don't expect anybody to win 7 out of the next 8 games, but I think when you say the tide has turned, it sort of suggests that Michigan is going to, you know, now dominate state for a while. And he's done a hell of a job there.
My honest feeling is I think it'll honestly be pretty equal going forward for a while.
It should be a really good series.
Unless D'Antonio takes that LSU job.
I don't think he's leaving. I don't think that guy's going anywhere.
They're not
going
to let him go anywhere.
No. Well, now, you know, the timing is, if he wanted to leave, it's not the time to leave going 2-6.
I just joke about that because of, you know, Nick Saban leaving state for LSU.
Oh, yeah. What? Well, you know, Saban. Nick Saban, he didn't do what D'Antonio did at state. He didn't even come close.
Not at all.
He was like 6-5, 6-5, 6-4-1.
Popped and then left.
6-5, 9-2, 10-2. He didn't even coach the 10th win.
Yeah.
And yeah, and he was gone. And I was actually surprised he got such a big job.
But that's where he learned the process.
No, he learned the process.
What?
He learned the process at Toledo, didn't he? Or was it at Kent State?
Oh, I thought he learned it from that weird psychiatrist. Oh,
no, I think you're right. I think you're right. Yeah, I think you're right about that.
Remember that unauthorized biography about him? And
yeah, it was hilarious. It was
weird how thin-skinned he was, and still apparently is.
Oh, he absolutely is. He's a weird guy.
It's weird.
When I found out that Gimme Shelter was his favorite song, it almost freaked me out because I love that song so much. I was kind of bummed out. He likes to crank it on his way home after a victory.
Oh, bullshit. That's just the first song you can think of. Gimme Shelter.
He's been to a few Stone shows.
He has?
He has. Can you imagine Nick Saban at a Stone show?
No. No, not one bit. It'd be so intense. I just picture him like with a visor on, just staring, not moving to the beat or anything, just staring.
Or what if, I see him yelling at people in the row for not being into it enough. One of those guys. I've seen people like that actually at shows.
Chewing people out for, because they played the wrong song.
Or just the crowd. For not being excited enough.
He is intense, man. Oh, God. No one is stopping them this year. Nobody's stopping Alabama.
They're really good. Now, they're playing a freshman quarterback, aren't they? A true freshman?
Yeah, Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts? I think that's his name, yeah. Isn't he a redshirt? Is he true?
I think he's a true freshman.
Oh, wow.
I think he's the first true freshman to start there in a long time.
Wow. Well, so, he's like the best running quarterback he's ever had. He's putting up massive numbers.
He's something else. No, I don't, you know... I can't see Michigan not winning the Big Ten. I mean, anything can happen, but...
God, I so wanted Nebraska to win that game because I don't want to see Michigan play Wisconsin again. Do you ever want to see a team you beat and play them again?
No, no. You know, that's what I hate about the large conferences. You know, with my team, Virginia Tech, I loved the Florida State game every year. I loved the Clemson game every year. Those were two great games, and they don't play those teams anymore. And, you know, it's to their benefit now because they're in the Coastal Conference of the ACC, which is the crappy conference. So they could, you know, losing to Syracuse, they could still play in the championship. And they've got a shot at it. I think they'll still lose another goofy game. But I'd rather see them play those great teams they used to play. It was exciting.
It kind of goes in cycles. I mean, who's to say who's to say Miami won't pop under Mark Richt?
They probably should.
Is Pittsburgh in the Coastal?
Yeah, Pittsburgh's in the Coastal.
You gotta like what Narduzzi's doing there.
Yeah. But, you know, I watched that game Thursday night. I'm looking at that empty stadium going, how do you get kids to go there?
That in Pitt?
Yeah.
Well, isn't that stadium not on campus either because it's Heinz Field? Don't they play?
No, it's not on campus.
Yeah.
It's the Steelers Stadium.
It's kind of the problem the Golden Gophers had when they played in the Metrodome. It wasn't on campus. Now
exactly.
TCF tends to be full for the most part.
I just think it would be, you know, we play where the Steelers play. It's great until you go to a game and there's
the
half place is empty and there's really, it's not that loud. In fact, I heard Hokie fans cheering.
There's a lot of history with that program, too, that they should be able to capitalize on.
No, they really should. But I just think that's kind of a, I don't know that he's going somewhere else.
Narduzzi?
Yeah, maybe he
could. I don't know.
He could do better. I don't know how old he is. He looks like he's old enough to not want to go somewhere else.
I could see him being there for a while. So,
but are they ever going to fill Heinz Field?
No.
They can't even more than half fill
although,
it now.
You know, if they're 8-0 ranked in the top, you know, five, yeah. Yeah, there's no football fans around to fill that.
I just would have thought that with him coming there, and they've been a better football team, certainly a better football team, I would have thought that they would be, they'd have some good support there by now, and they don't.
Well, they need a rich benefactor to build them a stadium.
But Georgia Tech's in that conference, too, who was really good when they decided the conferences. And they're still, Georgia Tech's still good program. They're a little down. That, it's so, playing that crazy
Duke
offense.
In the Coastal?
Yes, Duke is in the Coastal. I don't know if Duke's going to remain. I mean, they were good for 2 years.
No.
I don't think so. Although, you know,
cut close.
What Stanford did.
Stanford's so cooked, by the way. They're so done.
What happened to Stanford? I mean, Stanford was three years ago when State played them in the Rose Bowl. Remember how good they were?
They were really good. I think they've they had a quarterback there who'd been there for a long time. Mm-hmm. Remember Hogan?
Who's
now in the pros. But when you watch their game, their offense has no innovation to it. So it's almost like a Harbaugh offense if they ran power eye the whole time.
Yeah, no, it was a dreadfully boring team to watch.
Yeah, but they were great last year. Remember with McCaffrey, who hasn't done anything. People forgot about that guy.
What's their record? Have they lost 3 or 4 games or something?
I
just haven't heard much about them.
Or they've lost some big games.
And McCaffrey is supposed to be a runaway Heisman Trophy this year.
Yeah.
But you're right. I haven't heard much about the school, the team, the Heisman candidate.
I believe Washington beat them early. Okay. So they were 3-0. They beat USC and UCLA. Then they lost to Washington and Washington State. Beat Notre Dame and then lost to Colorado last week and beat Arizona. So they're not that bad. I'm talking 5-3.
What are his stats,
McCaffrey?
Yeah.
Let me look. I don't think he's ever scored a touchdown on the road yet. He's not that bad. 143 for 781, 5 touchdowns.
Receiving, anything?
24 for 207, 2 touchdowns. They're good.
He needs a couple big, big breakout games if he's good. Gonna do something. All right.
I don't know. Enough college football, I suppose.
We'll get to the Lions coming up. There's a couple things I want to mention just bugging me. One is... did you see Mariah Carey is asking for $50 million from her ex-fiancé?
They weren't married.
No.
Why does she get any money?
Because she's such a fucking slut, whore, cunt.
What an idiot.
I know. Can you believe that? You money. Bitch. She's loaded. How dare you? You absolute slut. Whore.
What is this?
Whore is the word I want, not slut.
What does this guy do?
He's a billionaire. I don't know what he does.
Oh. Well, just split and be done with it.
Of course. But she claims, okay, first of all, I mean, can you imagine being as rich as she is and demanding money from somebody? I mean, it's just so stupid on the face of it. She's not even married. They're not married. So I don't know why she thinks she deserves money. Mariah Carey's net worth, $520 million. Celebrity net worth. But, excuse me, I forgot something. She moved from New York to Los Angeles so she could be close to his kids. An alleged incident he caused while vacationing on a yacht in Greece led to so much emotional trauma she had to cancel her South American tour stops.
Oh! What, so she wants to be reimbursed for that?
Yes, for the tour stops that were canceled, I guess.
Give me a break.
Can you imagine? I'd love to know
what caused
this emotional trauma. What exactly it was. Was the deck a little too slick and she slipped and fell?
There wasn't enough food on the boat. She was hungry.
It's funny, as big as she seems sometimes, and speaking of big, I get the tab.
Big right like superstar wise or big like fat?
Big legs and big size.
Yeah.
She's fat ass. She's hot. There's something hot about her.
She's got a pretty face. She has huge tubes.
She's got huge tubes. She carries her extra weight very well.
Mm-hmm.
277-pound Rachel Ray eating herself to death.
She
is
looks
the cover
like
of the Globe.
Garbage lately. Have you seen all you
Yeah, look at this picture.
Julie watches her shows all the time, and every time you put anyone on, it's like, oh, ooh.
Yeah, she was thin. I mean, she looked really good there for a while.
Well, I believe she was like in Stuff Magazine or FHM at one point.
Oh, yeah, she was. You're right.
She looked pretty good. And
She's eating herself to death. I mean, can you imagine eating so much that you're literally eating yourself to death?
Death.
I mean, it's really...
What's Cusumano doing about it?
Good question.
Having more horse spit on his feet. Isn't that what he was into?
Yeah. Yes.
Some weird, bizarre fetish her husband was into.
Let's see what the... let's see what this eating regime is. This
eating regime.
I mean, it's got to be something incredible if she's eating herself to death. Oh, Pam Anderson. This is. Listen to this.
I'm reading about the altercation, by the way, with Mariah Carey.
Yeah.
The fight was not because of any cheating allegations or excessive spending by Mariah.
Oh, that was said at one point that she was spending so much money he couldn't stand it.
Here's the best part. Carey reportedly left the boat immediately after the altercation and flew back to Los Angeles with Monroe and Moroccan, her 5-year-old twins from Nick Cannon.
Ooh! They don't say what it was?
No, but admit, there's something hilarious being rich enough to go, fuck this argument, I'm getting off this boat and I'm flying all the way around the country.
When you're at your house and you got the world across town or something, you can just walk out the front door. Yes. But get the shot and land immediately. Call the helicopter.
And fly 15 hours back home.
I know, you bitch.
By the time she landed, his boat was probably finally docking.
What in the hell happened?
I don't know. Who knows? I just love that she left
this guy. I'm telling you, what would piss Mariah Carey off so much?
Oh, it's probably very minor. Whatever it is.
You know, you'd think normally if somebody gets that upset, it would be another chick or something. They're on a yacht. There's no other chick.
No. Nope.
Something like that. It's something really petty. It's got to be.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking for Rachel Ray. I saw this and this story just pissed me off when I saw it. Pamela Anderson. Porn star sex is no fun. Bombshell Pamela. I mean, who do you think of when you think of porn star sex? That's somebody in the world of entertainment. Pam Anderson, of course.
Her and Tommy.
Bombshell Pamela Anderson is beating up on nasty porn star sex. The former Playboy Playmate says she wants a sensual revolution because there's so much access to porn. People are becoming desensitized.
Just because you have seen it all.
Exactly. Just because you've been a porn star for 20 years and you watch porn 20 hours a day doesn't mean everyone else does.
Just because you've run out of places to put things in.
Oh, Pam, who acknowledges she was part of the problem of her Playboy and sex tape past, is seeking to promote relationship intimacy instead of... Shut up. Just shut up.
Wow. Porn has
nobody is taking orders from you.
Nobody looks at porn for intimacy.
And you're an idiot anyway. Just
to beat off and be done.
You know, the problem with someone like Pam Anderson is that she's so hot that there's enough guys who've hung on her every word that she's been deceived into thinking that she has really meaningful things to say.
Oh, yeah, because so many people have lied to her that, that's a really good point.
Yeah, and just paid attention to the stupid things coming out of her mouth because they wanted to fuck her.
Speaking of porn, did you see the guy, British pilot, who got fired because he was beaten off in the cockpit?
Yes.
And he took pictures of it. But it's funny because he has like this, porno mag just spread out over all the controls.
Is there a picture?
Yeah.
I didn't see the picture.
Oh, well, here he is in stockings with his dong. Well, you can't see his bone, though.
I can't see what?
You can't see his penis.
I don't need to see his penis. I just they have a shot of it?
Yeah, the pictures he took. 51-year-old removed from flying duties after bosses were alerted over sordid images shot in the Boeing 777.
What's with the stockings?
That's apparently what he likes to, get off in.
Oh, what a creep.
Look at all the instruments. That heel could absolutely press some
of
those buttons.
Jesus Christ, he's going to put the plane down.
There's his feet up there. That's what I was laughing at.
Steering with his feet.
That's what he's getting off to.
God,
just
creep.
A playboy.
Jesus Christ.
Playboy. Wait, you haven't seen the worst part. This is what his face looks like.
Ah!
He looks like a penis,
oh my
doesn't
God.
He?
He's topless.
Like,
why is he topless?
There's not a hair on that man.
Oh, my God.
He won't admit it to him.
Jesus Christ.
The other porn news of the day in the NFL, did you see the dildo that got thrown out of the field?
No, I didn't.
You didn't?
No.
God, that's funny. I, for some reason, had some Twitter notifications and opened it, and it's like a couple people sending me the link to it.
Damn it, I didn't look at my Twitter notifications. Shit.
Of course, it's the rowdiest fans in the whole league, the Buffalo Bill fans. And the play's going down to the 2-yard line. Somebody from New England, I can't remember who they were tackling. You just see this dildo come flying in and land like right on the field. So,
first of all, there's got to be players laughing.
You know what? I haven't seen any video of players' reactions because, you know, after the play, they just go back to the huddle. I don't even know if they
picked up the dildo.
Well, that's what I was going to say. How would you handle it if you're an official? Because the officials,
I called the ball boy out to pick it up.
Pick it up. You would? I gotta say, the referee, I think it was the back judge that handled it, did a pretty good job.
The head is so red.
Go search Bleacher Report dildo, because they have a video from the stands.
Is this it? Right
here. Well, there's the video of it flying in during the game. Man, somebody's butt could have fallen on that.
Oh, come on, let me see some reaction.
More? No. Okay, because somebody posted, not Bleacher Report, SB Nation. Search SB Nation with Big Dildo. And they have a guy in the stands who filmed it as it's happening.
Oh, cool.
And that's when you can see the official take care of it if you want to do play-by-play.
it's this old black referee, too. That's what cracks me up about it.
Oh, there are four comments. No, we really know what goes on in football games.
What a stupid comment.
Hey, it's not nice to call Rex names like that.
What?
Rex Ryan thought it was his challenge flag.
Oh, God.
Very clever.
Yeah, I think it was the show. Oh, boy.
This is the shot.
Yeah, this is it.
Here's the play. And who's chucking that dildo? I haven't seen that many happy fans since the Drew Blow's blown up penis was in the stands. He kicks it off the field. He refuses to pick it up. The fans are so excited.
Yeah, I love in the beginning. Dildo on the field.
Look how much fun a penis can cause.
Well, it's so silly. It's just this flesh-colored dong sitting on the one-yard line. How perfectly handled by that official,
it was brilliant.
Too. Because he walks up to it and looks at it. Yep, that's a dildo. And then he doesn't know. He's like, I just kind of want to pick it up and chuck it, but there's 80,000 people watching right now and a camera, you know.
And half the section there knows exactly what it is.
Oh, of course they do.
You know, the picture in the stands, because I'm trying to think, did the picture make the paper with the big Drew Blow's dildo?
Oh, I don't know.
It was in the TV shot. It was in the TV shot.
Okay.
And so people were pausing on it and taking pictures. And there's this giant blown-up penis with Drew Blow's on it. It was at the Michigan State game.
It's been everywhere. I've seen it at a Michigan game a couple times.
And you can see it going through there. People are batting it. And if you freeze on the TV, you see so many people smiling. I mean, huge smiles. People just laughing uproariously. Everyone in the section is watching nothing but the blown-up penis.
Because it's hilarious.
Of course.
It's silly.
How do I explain that to my children?
I hate when people
say
that.
It's just an inflatable thing.
Children.
It's silly.
277-pound Rachel Ray.
Oh, yeah.
Diet or die. TV chef packs on staggering 105 pounds as show fails and marriage hits skids.
Ooh.
Sorry. Facing the end of her fizzling cooking show. And trapped in a divorce crisis, stressed out TV chef Rachel Ray is packed on a fridge-busting 105 pounds. Fridge-busting. That's a new one. And her yo-yoing weight threatens to send her to an early grave.
Oh, why didn't they use the line? Digging a grave with
it's digging your own grave with a fork and knife. Recent photos reveal the 5'3" former kitchen cutie is plumped out to a gut-busting 277 pounds.
Boo.
48-year-old cook was rail thin in 2003, ballooned by more than 50 pounds in 2008, and then lost nearly all that by 2009, Glove previously reported, of course. Now her figure's mushroomed again.
Oh, boy.
Putting her health at risk, according to top doctors. Oh, we're going to get a doctor quoted here.
Let me guess. Dr. Merkin? Merkin?
No, Gabe Merkin. Dr. Stuart Fisher is taking this case.
That was the one last time. And, of course, there's always Lillian Glass.
Rachel has gained over 105 pounds, says Dr. Stuart Fisher, who has not treated her. It's grotesque, especially coming from a supposed health expert and diet guru. The excess pounds she's now carrying.
That's the medical term.
Well, I love the way he puts an exact amount of weight, too. Like, yeah. He would know. He's not a doctor.
Yeah, he's an expert.
The excess pounds she's now carrying bring the definite possibility of high cholesterol, diabetes, heart failure, or even cancer. Plastic surgeon Dr. Otto Plastic also warns Rachel's roller-coastering weight puts the roly-poly chef at a risk for high blood pressure and other cardiovascular issues. That amount of weight gain in a relatively short time is a very unhealthy and can put sudden stress on the heart, says Dr. Plastic, who has not treated Rachel, but did review recent photos of the star. All this from photos. All these are life-threatening and results of her own poor habits, adds Dr. Plastic. Sources believe Rachel's gobbling food for comfort from the stresses of her marriage to accused cheater John Guzmano,
yeah.
And sinking career. Talk about her audience. Who cares? She was about to cancel. Some of CBS bosses are syndicated. Cooking talk show will not be renewed. Okay. Let's get back to the eating. Because the show is just half a double whammy, rocking the former first lady of food. Her marriage hanging by a thread. All the stress contributed to her massive weight gain. Says an insider. It seems inevitable. She and John are headed toward divorce. Okay. Back to the food, please. But embarrassingly, this is okay. Weird stuff. Yeah. While Rachel's rep claims the marriage is on solid footing, her cousin Gina Mesnick says the pair have major clashes. Rachel kicks them out when they fight, says Gina, and the next time could be for good, says an insider. One look at Rachel, you can see that she's given up and thrown in the towel. What a shame. What a shame.
Great. Yeah, they do write those so well.
Yeah, they got some fine journalists, no doubt.
Guess who's at the World Series game tonight?
Bill Murray?
He might be. Keep guessing. Somebody locally. Who, of course, would be there in his Cubs hat, wearing his mitt.
Wait, locally?
Jim Harbaugh.
Jim Harbaugh's at the game?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, he's sitting with his dad, Jack, and his wife, Sarah.
Oh, for crying out loud.
But did you hear me? He has his mitt. He's wearing his mitt.
Well, you know, he's trapped in a 10-year-old's brain or something. I mean,
he's got his Cubs hat on and a Michigan sweatshirt. They showed him on the scoreboard and started playing the victors in Wrigley Field.
Wow, no kidding.
Yeah,
what's the chance of that?
I don't know, but let me see if I can find him again on the TV. How silly is
he's that? Everywhere. Where is he not? How does he have time for all this stuff?
His energy is just insane.
No, it's amazing. How do you like the Woody Hayes glasses, by the way?
They're perfectly stupid enough. He makes them work.
Yeah, they're pretty cool.
They're not bad. I would think he would be bummed to wear glasses.
Is it an homage to Woody Hayes?
Well, he said it was an homage.
That's kind of what I thought.
To he used a couple people.
Woody I saw Hayes, that
Malcolm X was one. Oh, and Michael Douglas in Falling Down. I just think he thinks they're cool.
Yeah. I have a pair a lot like those, by the way. You? I do. I never wear them, but I have them.
I mean, they're cool because they're thick on the top and then
I like them.
On the bottom.
No, I like them. I would
just be bummed to have to wear glasses again. I hate wearing glasses. Wearing glasses.
I go back and forth. When I've worn them for a long time, then I feel like, this just makes me look old and I don't know. And you get tired of getting new glasses and, supposedly trying to look halfway cool. And your glasses go out of style and then you go for contacts. I get sick of contacts. I guess it'd be better to have my eyes fixed.
Oh, it's the best thing I did.
Okay. I'm
looking for Harbs here. It's supposed to be right after his 17th pitch. By the way, your Cubs are losing.
I know. 1-0
Ramirez
already.
A home run, yeah.
Christ.
Sorry.
I know.
Would you rather it's over tonight or?
No. I want him to extend it.
No, but I mean, if you had to lose, would you rather lose now?
Okay. I'd rather extend it and have a better showing.
There he is. There's Harbs.
Oh, there he is with the glasses.
Let's hear what Bucker. Can we buy this one? Hear what Buck has to say. I don't know why. I don't know why I care this much.
We know why.
If only Jim Harbaugh were here to see that.
Oh, wait.
Who's? There he is.
Oh, there he is.
How about that? Two out, nobody on, and Jose Ramirez steps in.
Is he? I'm trying to figure out where he's sitting. What part of the park
that is?
It
looks like he's in the. Kind of looks like he's in the outfield.
Yeah, I don't think he's in box seats.
Is he in the bleachers?
He's not by any brick.
I mean, you would know Wrigley way better.
I need to get off the bottom of the screen. I could tell. Let's see.
Oh, is he behind the dugout?
He's in the first row. Is the dugout green there? No, because there's that fence.
He's in the first row of something, though, because there's no seats in front of him, right?
I wonder if he's on that far left-hand side of the bleachers. What's green? I'm trying to figure that out.
I don't know, but how pretty is Sarah?
Oh, yeah, she is fine.
I don't know where he's at.
Let's see a shot of the game for a second. Nobody on, and Jose Ramirez. See what's green. It's not around home plate.
He must be in the outfield.
It looks like a pretty exclusive seat. Not surprising.
Ramirez waits for the 0-1. And hits one a ton into left.
Oh, right.
There we go. So now we know why the Indians are winning 1-0.
Yeah, he's definitely sitting in the outfield.
Oh.
He's sitting right along the wall.
Can you freeze when that home run shot? Is there some green?
Yeah. Yeah, and then the fence.
I think he's at the far left part because it...
And hits one a ton into left.
He's in the far left out there, I think.
Yeah, like right there?
Yeah.
Approximately?
Yep. Even further left.
Yeah,
that's a cool place to sit.
That's there's a fence behind him. Are those like outfield box?
I don't think they're boxes out there. I think it's every man for themselves.
Oh,
but
okay.
They might have a few. They might have a special place for special people.
No. I bet you he's bummed he didn't catch that ball.
Yeah, he's got a glove. That's one.
A great hitter. And after a terrific regular season.
Oh, there's a nice expletive that went over the air there. Did you hear that?
What'd they say?
Oh, shit! They're high-fiving going down the line. They've done that a couple times where they show the dugout. And the last time I saw it, there was a lot of dropouts.
Oh, really?
People were going, F yeah, and, you know, it's all the swearing, so they had to dump it.
Leaving the
Cubs. 14 straight games in the Major League Baseball postseason. Whoever scores first wins. There's been no lead changes.
That's terrible for the game. Actually, all four series games have been just rotten.
Yeah.
Just crummy games. The 1-0 game, I'm sorry, wasn't bad.
That was pretty good.
If you like a close, good pitching game, it was a great game.
But you want to see some lead changes.
Oh, God, yeah. No question. This is sort of a 180 here, but we should just at least mention it, that the presidential race, the polls are showing it is almost a dead heat.
National polls.
Yeah, here's the interesting part. A lot of this was done before there was really a fallout from the email.
Mm-hmm.
It was tightening. Now apparently it's really tight. It seems like Hillary's ahead by 1 point. With most of the polls, it's like her 46, 45, or 43, 44.
Doesn't it come down to Florida? I mean, if he doesn't win Florida, he's done.
Yeah, I think he's got to win Florida, but... I don't know what these numbers mean in other states, if there's been any change in some of the other states. Isn't it weird how you think the person who is, if somebody's had 48-44, for example, you think, well, they won.
Yeah.
But in this case, it's not necessarily true, because what if you're winning California 70-30 and you're winning New York 80-20?
Yeah.
And you're losing a bunch of other states, 50-48.
It's happened before.
Yeah, it happened with
before,
Gore.
Where you win the popular but lose the electoral.
And I got to tell you, I feel like the popular vote should be what determines it. Why do we care about the who came up with this electoral college? I understand it made sense at one time.
It made sense at one time because of technology. It was hard to travel if you wanted to get an election done right away. I mean, that's really where it came about. So you sent electorates over, you know, you sent them to the convention to place their votes.
And they didn't want one region to dominate. You know, when you only have 13 states or 6 states or 8 states, you don't want one state to completely dominate or their needs to dominate everything.
Technology has really changed that. It could just go by popular vote. Now, the worry is, well, if you do that, then they'll just go to New York and L.A. and San Francisco to campaign, which I think is, A, I don't think that's necessarily true.
You'd go there anyway. They said the most electoral votes.
Well, who cares anyway? Because it seems like they only go to Ohio and Florida. Or Pennsylvania, wherever the battlegrounds are.
I know. Isn't it terrible that it's been perverted this way so that you just try to win the Electoral College? You don't try to get the most votes. You try to win
the
state you have to win to win the election.
That's the way the rules are set up, I suppose.
But, I mean, it doesn't matter what it is. People always end up perverting it at the highest levels
I'm all
to win.
For now. The other argument,
you're just doing the right thing
to keep it with the Electoral College, is this idea to make sure the elections are still ran by the states and by the counties, as opposed to having a
they
national.
They can still
election.
Run them. They just give the popular results.
I agree. I think it's awfully silly. It should just be popular vote. Period.
Does anyone else use an Electoral College type situation? Is there any
I don't
country?
Think so.
I don't think so either.
You mean other Thank countries? You.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if they, have the pride that we do in individual states, being United States.
Do we really have? Do we have that much pride?
I don't know how Canada does it based on province. I don't know. I would assume they're just popular vote. But
well,
I have no idea. There's Canadians that listen to us.
The funny thing about this whole deal is that Uma has left the campaign.
Oh,
Uma is gone because this comes from Anthony Weiner's. The investigation of Anthony Weiner is basically what caused this to happen, because he has shit on his email that apparently shouldn't be there.
Well, no, it sounds like they shared an email account.
Yes, they shared an email account.
What?
Right.
Two grown adults share an email account. This isn't 1997 when email first came out. They weren't scarce. Everybody has their own email account.
Well, at that level, two people like that?
Well, it's just childish anyway.
I'm just kind of shocked that they would.
Unless it's her way of keeping an eye on him. Anthony, you're only allowed to have one email account. Too bad he has every other creepy app to contact underage women with.
What?
Like Kick and Snapchat and
what a mess.
Boner Sender.
What an absolute mess. Oh, Boner Sender? Is
I don't
that a real
know.
One?
I just made that up.
Oh.
But how appropriate in a weird way that Anthony could bring down the national election. Seriously.
If that's what caused the joint email, you're right. Essentially, Anthony Weiner's penis would have altered the election results. You're right. Because she was ahead. She was killing it. She was up 50-38.
No, I know. Well, look at, but that's just the ABC poll. Stop looking at one poll.
No, I know. I was just trying to exaggerate the poll. About his penis running things. Wiener's penis is running the country.
I know. Now, I have no problem with James Comey coming out and doing this. Jay and I were talking about it before the show. He's damned if he does. He's damned if he doesn't. So do you just say, yeah, we're looking into it again.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm tired of people not doing things because of the election. Happen when they happen, and it doesn't matter. He should do his job.
I understand that, but in the world of politics, sometimes things don't always just happen when they happen.
But here's the thing. You know, when she was cleared, wasn't that a lot of that because she's running for president? She's going to be the Democratic nominee. So are they really going to indict her?
Clinton met with Loretta Lynch.
On the jet.
A lot of good that did.
You know, that
so
really,
is that conspiracy theory?
Actually, you know what? It's funny.
No?
Bill Clinton really cost her big time because that's being talked about a lot.
Oh,
now.
Stupid. It looks
incredibly stupid. And to say they were talking about their grandkids for 30 minutes.
Of course it came up. But to think that she wouldn't do it anyways is a little silly. Now, Comey's a Republican. That's why I always hated when people attacked him for just getting rid of this so quick, which if he could get Hillary Clinton, he would get Hillary Clinton. And the simple fact of the matter is we don't know what's in these emails.
Well,
I'm sick of people acting like this is it. She's cooked.
No, I don't think she's cooked. It's just another embarrassing element. Isn't it really just another, another show of just looseness and general lack of professionalism in regards to something very sensitive.
Is that something Trump wants to put a mirror up to? Looseness and general sense of professionalism.
But come on, you can't compare everything to the other person. This is something she did, not him.
Of course.
Look at her.
Of course. I would never defend her on that. But wouldn't it behoove him better to point out the charity and the pay-to-play stuff instead of going after this and going, see, this proves it, when it doesn't really prove anything we don't know yet.
This is just something.
That's what I hate about it.
Well, it sounds much worse than it is, in my opinion.
That's a very succinct way to put
it. But the other stuff is really bad. The pay-to-play stuff is horrible.
And that's what
the
I'm saying.
The steering money to Bill Clinton. Oh, let's steer $50 million to Bill Clinton. Let's do that while we're... Hey, you know what? While they're donating to the Clinton Foundation, why don't we get Bill Clinton some fat income? Get him on a board. It'll pay him a few million.
I totally agree with that. But he's not hitting that home. Instead, he's pointing to this because it fits this whole narrative that
everything the FBI,
is rigged.
It sounds good.
Everything's fixed for the establishment.
Well, no, but it's funny. Today, yesterday, I think it was, he said, well, maybe it's not so rigged. which I thought was kind of funny and ridiculous.
I don't know. Whatever.
This is going to hurt her big time.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I do.
With all the early voting going on?
Well, what percentage of people are going to vote early?
That's a good point.
I mean, 5%? I don't know. I don't know.
You know, they keep throwing out this number. A third of likely voters say that this would definitely exclude them from voting for what they don't say.
Yeah, but they don't say is that a lot of them are Trump voters.
No. I would just think if your mind is made up. Now, what it probably will do, will energize his base again.
You know what I'm surprised about? Well, it's also de-energizing her base.
Hers, absolutely. Yeah,
so it has, two.
It's got an effect.
Two-way effect. But
what it also did was bury the new Trump accuser over the weekend.
Oh, who's the new Trump accuser?
Some Finnish. This is almost as weak as the last
is
one.
Is this the one? Wait, is this the one that the videotape where he embarrassed the girl on stage? He called her up.
Oh, no, no. This is okay. The one. This is so weak. Where is it at? In an interview with local Finnish paper Ilta Sanomat, translated by the Telegraph, former Miss Finland Nina Lakinson became the 12th woman to accuse Donald Trump of sexual assault. The incident occurred moments before she appeared on The Late Show with David Letterman with three other contestants and Mr. Trump. Before the show, we were photographed outside the building, she told the paper. Trump stood right next to me, and suddenly, he squeezed my butt. He really grabbed my butt. I don't think anybody saw it, but I flinched and thought, what is happening? At a house party, with other contestants, she said someone told her that Trump liked me because I look like Melania when she was younger. That left me disgusted.
Ooh!
See, the problem with this accusation, it makes the real ones, the legitimate ones, seem not true or not as important.
Well, you know, it doesn't sound good. I mean, you want your president grabbing asses all over the place.
It's a presidential tradition. Ass grabbing?
Seems to be.
Ask Lincoln.
I think getting a strange piece of ass every day, get rid of these damn headaches.
The other fun political story.
That's a presidential tradition.
Was the woman who voted twice for Trump. Did you hear about that?
She voted twice for Trump.
Yeah.
How'd she do that?
Well, she got arrested, too, because it's a felony.
See, it's rigged.
Well, that's why she voted twice. She thought her vote wasn't going to be counted, so she voted early again. The polls are rigged, she told Iowa Public Radio. She also told the Washington Post she wasn't planning on voting for Trump twice, but it was a spur-of-the-moment act. I don't know what came over me. She had to post $5,000 in
bond. I don't know what came over me.
She had to pay $5,000.
Yeah, that's a serious crime.
And go to court. Well, so who would do it? Why it's not that.
You know, I tell you something that just stuns me, reading about the numbers of people who are sold on the election being rigged and there's some kind of Mickey Mouse going on, but it's not just the Trump people. The people voting for Hillary Clinton are saying the same thing. It's just not this high a percentage.
It's stupid.
So basically you've got, I don't know, is it one third of America that if you say something enough times,
they
just believe it.
Yes.
It doesn't matter what you say.
Well, like I said before, so many people believe that their vote will be counted properly, but not everybody else's would. But it's like, well, what makes your vote so special?
I mean, if you said eating food through your butthole makes you lose weight.
It does.
Eating food through your butthole makes you lose weight.
I've heard people say.
If they hear it every day for 2 weeks, Donald Trump yelling it, they will start eating food through their butthole.
I just got a new report in here that eating food through your butthole will make you lose weight. Infowars.com. I'm Alex Jones.
I don't know. People want to believe what they want to believe. So if it's said, they believe.
But these are Hillary supporters who are saying they believe.
I know. I'm just saying whoever. There's idiots on both sides. You can believe anything you want to believe. Speaking of InfoWars, did you see the guy, at the Trump rally? Chanting Jew-SA?
No.
Oh, you didn't see that?
Oh, dude? I heard about it. Yeah, I heard about it.
He had an InfoWars shirt on.
Oh, God. That's nice.
There's a big article on Alex in the Spin magazine. It's a joy to read.
In Spin?
Yeah.
Really?
Uh-huh.
What's the spin on Spin magazine?
Oh, just how he got there and how big he is. I think he's kind of in shock with how some of these conspiracy theories have taken over.
If you don't know who Alex Jones is.
He's a guy that talks like this.
Yeah, he does talk like this.
Not to be confused with the Hulk Hogan brother.
He repeats every conspiracy theory there is and acts like he really believes in it and has guests on who get really excited, overly excited, like they believe him too.
Don't confuse him with Todd Corser either.
And he does get, the guy, the Todd Corser, wait.
Ben Schmidt?
The guy, yeah, the other guy on the tape who sounds, he was in the news for something the other day.
I think he just won an appeal from the state.
Yes, he did. He did.
And then when they rule it.
Are you serious? What are you talking about?
God, that is the most bizarre. That tape was incredible, wasn't it?
It is the best tape. It might be one of my favorite pieces of audio, and it's from such a, not a small, but a minor grand scheme of things.
One of the dumbest pieces of news we've ever come across since I've been in this town. Jesus.
He's out there with his cock hanging about in Lansing.
You really want me to say that? People going to believe that?
It sounds like a prepubescent Bob Hope. Oh, wow.
Hey, you really want to believe that? Nobody's going to believe that.
Oh, man.
You can't say your cock's out. Can't even say the word cock.
Is Cindy okay with me?
Cindy.
Brother. Did you happen to see the story about the... let's see what's the name of this building. The Seward Hotel, which is a story about spats in Detroit neighborhoods over what to do with these big buildings that people are buying and taking over. And, they're... putting these fancy schmancy condos in generally.
Oh, gentrification?
Well, it's not really about gentrification, but it's just about how, some of these neighborhoods, for example, are neighborhoods where you had maybe a, 12, 14, even 20-story building somebody put up in 1920. And it was a beautiful building. And then eventually, of course, it became run down and became maybe a place where older people or poor people lived.
Okay.
Until it became so crappy that it was shut down, basically.
Yeah.
And the Seward Hotel, it was a hotel. It's two buildings, like twin towers. They're both 11 stories. They were very nice. I mean, originally this was a super high class building.
Where's that at? Is that in the Fox District or no?
Let's see.
I'm sorry.
The Long Vacant Seward Hotel. No, it's worth knowing. And it does say in here. Just north of the new
center. Okay.
So just north of the new center.
Gotcha. Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
Anyway, it's in a neighborhood where it was generally occupied by people who didn't pay super high rents. It wasn't in great shape. And of course, when it was bought, there were plans to, turn it into this swanky place.
Yeah.
And now
condos. Mm-hmm.
And now it's been determined that it's going to have a certain number. In fact, most of the condos or apartments in this are going to be low rent apartments for people that make well under the standard of living.
Okay.
Whatever that is, or below the poverty levels or near the poverty level.
Yep.
And they're going to have rents between, $450 a month to $717 a month, something like that. Yeah. Which is, great for certain income groups because those people live downtown. They have to have a place to live, and some of them live in buildings like this and always have. But what blew my mind about the story, and then the top two stories.
That's interesting because usually they don't. In other cities, they don't do that. They'll just blow you out.
Not really. Yeah, exactly. It's like, you're out of here. But they have rent controls in New York. There's still rent control.
Yeah, but they've blown a lot of people. There's been a lot of gentrification issues in New York, especially when that new Barclays Arena went up.
Yeah, it gets messy because the people who own them, of course, they always want to get rid of that bullshit, make some money. And I don't quite know how you manage to do this or how you can tell someone what they have to or should or should not do with if they own the building.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all very strange.
Out.
But the point is, the thing that just blew my mind about the whole story was, here you got two 11-story buildings. They were, beautiful buildings. Of course, they're run down and scrappers have gone in, completely taken all the copper out and all that. But they're still two 11-story buildings. What do you think the most recent owner paid for these two 11-story buildings in downtown Detroit, the 13th largest city, according to...
Am I allowed to know when he bought them?
2011.
2011? Yeah.
And the building was shut down right around that time.
I don't know, $100,000.
$63,000.
$63,000?
$63,000.
Oh, man, why didn't we buy them?
I mean, you can buy... You can buy a three-bedroom home in Oak Park for probably less than that.
Easily.
Or right around there.
Wow.
$63,000. Yeah, but 211-story buildings today, honey. What do you think? What?
Well, what did the Temple Hotel? Well, the Temple Hotel went for a lot, but that's because it was part of the
Red Wing thing. Yeah, it was property they had to have. Oh, but those people got so greedy. God, they wanted $3 million for that piece of shit place.
Well, there's that other house where the back was burned off. There's like 10 guys that invested in it. I don't think they bought that house.
No, at last I knew they had not. And they kept raising the price.
I know. Dicks.
I know. It was like a, 2,500 square foot home that was burned.
I know.
And they wanted a couple $1 million for it.
It's going to be in the middle of this entertainment district.
I mean, that's just bullshit. And you know what? In the end, they do end up giving them way more than they ever should receive.
Uh-huh.
Although they were playing, they were starting to play hardball with those guys. They were pissing them off. And I love it when people say, okay, keep your place.
Well,
like the little old lady in New Jersey and who's got this little house in the middle of two giant casinos.
Yeah, there's a lady, I think she was the inspiration for the movie Up in outside Seattle, where they built the mall around her house.
So funny.
She was the last house on the block, and they just went brip, 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 and went around it.
You know what I couldn't believe, though, in reading this story? This guy pays $63,000 for the place. He pays nothing. And, you know, he's fixing it up. But he's getting all these credits because he's going to have low-income housing in there.
Uh-huh.
He gets all these credits, so he pays virtually no taxes. He gets... I think he gets certain sums of money to help build the place in the first place. But, I mean, it's like $63,000. You wouldn't think this guy would need any credits to build to somehow fix this place up and make it inhabitable.
But I have a lot of things that are on order, you know, credit trouble.
I wonder, that's really interesting, though, how the low housing mixes with these penthouses. And
well, the top two stories, there's no restriction on. Would you want a penthouse in a building with a bunch of people paying $450 a month?
That's what I mean.
No thanks.
Yeah.
And actually, I don't think it's going to work out that way. I think you're going to put offices up there.
Oh, really?
But even how many offices are going to want to be a building with people who are paying $450
Why
bucks a month?
Why not make the whole thing an office building?
Because I think he's being pressured to do this, which I also don't understand. I mean, he bought the place. He bought the place fair and square. He paid us his $63,000.
Well, still, though.
It's still his.
Yeah. He could leave it empty if he wanted.
Also, downtown this weekend, there was some horrific news as another Detroit cop was killed in a car accident as a van plowed into a patrol car.
Oh, God.
And Officer Myron Jarrett was not in the patrol car, but he was nearby assisting somebody. Let's see. Van slammed into a second police car and finally into a civilian vehicle. Jarrett, suffering multiple injuries, died. Another officer was slightly injured. James Craig, a news conference, said the initial investigation indicates the driver of the van who ran off but was captured did not intend to hit Jarrett. Yeah, so what?
What was the van doing?
I don't know what this guy was doing. He was just driving. Well, he was driving too fast, I know that. And somehow he plowed into this van, which this cop was right near. And the van hit the cop, who flew 30 feet through the air.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And, you know, of course, it's another guy very popular in the police department. And, you know, just every time this happens, I just wonder, you know, how much you're going to. Well, we'll probably hear a lot about this guy, actually.
Hopefully.
Like the last. But, you know, are they going to do something? Well, I guess they have actually fixed the whole. They've started to fix the benefits for police officers killed in the.
Yeah. Yeah.
They get 5 years of benefits. Yeah. They should get a lifetime of health care, but they get 5 years now because of Charlie's story mainly.
Yeah. Well, that passed. The problem was it passed like the week after Shark died, and then they made it retroactive thanks to Charlie's story.
So this family will, hopefully they'll, I don't know, they have to do something about this. I mean, the fact that they, with all these shortfalls in cash with the bankruptcy and the grand deal and all that stuff, they still, not only did they screw the pensions of all those people working for Detroit, but they screw families of dead cops. I had no idea. I didn't think you could do that. That's ridiculous.
I didn't know this. The van allegedly hit three other cars, too.
Yeah.
Did you mention that?
No, I did not. Well, that it hit a second car, yeah, but I knew it had hit another car as well.
And it was a hit and run.
Yeah, the guy tried to run away.
They're thinking he's got a pretty shady past too. The Gazina guy that hit him. I don't know if you saw some of that.
Well, I saw he was estranged from his wife, and his wife was talking to the media. What did they say about his past? I know he's got a laundry list of.
Well, they're just saying that he, you know, this is just hearsay and allegedly, but, you know, the wife and ex-wife was saying that he went on, like, you know, crack benders, you know, crack runs and stuff like that, and was probably out with a prostitute that night, you know, with a van.
Oh, God.
And they're also thinking that they thought they heard the van engine rev before he went after the cop, so.
Wow.
They're.
I really think it might have been. He might have done it on purpose.
They're speculating. It's still being investigated.
Shit.
But there's a lot of little loose details like that out there.
Well, they need to do something about the crime of hit and run, because it is just epidemic. How many people hit and run in Detroit? It's ridiculous. Everyone, they've dragged bodies under their cars because they're trying to get away. Because apparently, everyone thinks the only thing to do when you get in an accident is to run. Because they have no insurance, and many people don't have licenses, so they just think, well, I've got a hit and run, or I'm in a whole heap of trouble. No, you've got to stop and render aid to people. You got to call, because there's a chance you might be able to help
these
people.
Know.
When
yeah.
you take off, chances are, unless somebody's right there, nobody calls 911 until they find what mess you've left behind. But what a tragedy. Another cop killed in the line of duty in Detroit. Jose Fernandez.
Wait, there was another one too.
Well, no, not in a hit and run, but the last one we had just a month ago.
No,
you just said his name.
I'm telling Shark. I'm telling you, there is another hit and run, or there's this one just popped up at 8 o'clock.
Oh, where a cop was hurt?
Woman who they believe is passenger in the vehicle. They're looking for. So that must be the alleged prostitute. Let's see what she looks
God.
Like. I mean, there's a picture of her.
Oh, there is. Is she hot?
Wait, what prostitute? Where's that? That's a big old parka.
Let me see.
Here. Let me see this whore.
There's a surveillance video. Oh, man. Wait, where'd it go? Here it comes. That's her right there. That's it. That's all they have.
And is that him with her?
Yeah, that's him with her.
Can
She's,
you replay that?
They're walking into a liquor store.
Of course.
Do you recognize her?
No, I don't look familiar. Haven't seen her lately. Who are?
Huh.
I was just going to mention the Jose Fernandez story.
Wow, yeah.
Where it turns out he had a blood alcohol level of 0.147 and cocaine in his system, as did one of the other passengers. They had lower levels of alcohol in their systems.
They don't believe that he was driving the boat, right?
I heard they didn't know who's driving the boat yet.
Okay,
last
update I thought I saw that said that they don't think he was. Whatever that matters, I guess. I mean, although he was drunk.
Well, I've got to say, driving a boat fast
in the dark
is fucking crazy.
Yep,
it's madness, and that boat was flying. And when you hit something, you know, there's especially when you're close to shore. There's so many things that are, you know, stumps. Deadheads,
yeah.
Things like that. In that case, it was a jetty, which they should have seen.
You would think.
But it wasn't that high out of the water.
Yeah. The other two guys had alcohol in their system, but none was past the legal limit.
Yeah.
And the other guy had traces of cocaine in his blood as well. How long does cocaine stay in your system? So is that,
I think it's like 48 hours or 24 hours. So, it's not like other drugs that stay in there forever.
But most likely he did it that night, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think so, yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah, probably.
That's what I figured, if it's in his system and it hadn't been metabolized, right?
I thought it was very interesting, right. I thought it was interesting that so many people at this bar they were at were telling people not to go with him. And what does that tell you?
Remember, the one friend tweeted or texted, "It's not my time."
Yeah, exactly. The one that didn't go.
So what do you think? What does this mean?
Oh, the one that did go, yeah, and was killed. Yeah. It said it's not my time.
So what does this mean? I mean, does this change people's opinion of Jose Fernandez? I mean, he's dead. He was dead before.
I don't know. Not really. You know, he's a young guy. Young people do stupid things.
Is it just baseball gets mad at him? Is it a bad image for baseball?
I don't know. Does it really matter? I mean, did we really think that he was completely sober when he got... No, I'm just saying generally, boom, the average guy. Did they really think this guy was sober when he got in the boat?
I wouldn't think
so. At that hour. I wouldn't think so either. He was at a bar. They were at a bar.
But it's still not a good look, I suppose, that your star young ace pitcher in the league is doing cocaine.
Yeah, no, it sucks. And, you know, I always think, too, that baseball tests these guys fairly often, so I'm kind of surprised. I guess I'm surprised on that level, because yeah. I always figure that they're tested enough that they probably don't do stuff like that. Although, if you're a young baseball player and you're tested periodically and you know the cocaine goes out of your system fairly quickly, you probably think, well, there's something I can do once in a while.
Yeah.
Oh, you know why I know so much about cocaine is because Dwight Gooden, reading the Dwight Gooden book was so funny. Yeah, how he would do cocaine, thinking, they're not going to test me tomorrow. I can do coke.
And then they did.
Yeah, and then they did. And then there were other times where he knew it and he did it anyway. I know. He was incredible. Oh, my God, was he an addict.
It's wow. Dwight Gooden logic. Remember the thing we were laughing at the most with Gooden logic was, I'm retired. I can do as much drugs as I want now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was so psyched. It's funny. It didn't hit him till the next day.
No, I know.
He was like getting ready for a press conference. He's like, oh, my God, I can go crazy. I can get all the blow I want. I think he went out and went and bought some huge quantity of coke and just went crazy.
Has there been an update on him?
Because no, because really Straw was all upset about him, and Straw felt he was, you know, in a bad place.
He shows up for about a third of his appearances just sweaty as all hell.
Oh, I know. It just sounded terrible. It really did.
But nobody knows where Doc is.
I don't know. It's
funny. Last time we knew, he was on the Joe Piscopo show.
That's right, and Joe Piscopo just... Apparently, he and Joe Piscopo are super tight, which is so weird.
Well...
I mean, first of all, it's weird
big
that
stars in the 80s probably did lots of blow together.
It's bizarre to me that Joe Piscopo is that Dwight Gooden is his friend, but it's even weirder to me that Joe Piscopo is Dwight Gooden's friend. I mean, that's weird. I can't see those guys hanging out. I just can't picture that. I can't. What would they talk about?
Probably Piscopo.
No, I bet they just talk about Dwight. I bet they just talked about. Yeah, I was going to throw him a changeup, and I threw him the hook.
Probably where to score blow next.
That too. There's got to be some drugs in common between those guys. There has to be. They got nothing else going.
Has to be cocaine.
Likely. Let's see. I guess this Pistons thing is
done. Going on.
I'm not done. It's funny, you know, the Saturday story from Goris. He kept saying that, we're close, but it's not a done deal. I mean, he seemed to be making it very clear that it's not a done deal, but it is close. It was kind of a strange way he had of saying it. Clearly, there's something that's not done that he needs his negotiating powers for.
It sounds like the practice facility is really the big issue.
I wondered about that $50 million he spent in the palace that he insists must somehow be included in this deal.
Why? Why is it included in the deal?
I don't know, because he wants it to be.
Nobody made you spend that.
I agree.
You didn't have to spend that.
You know what else is kind of interesting, too, is the, well, equal revenue for basically the building on the whole. I don't understand how do you put the Pistons in there, and how do the Wings and Olympia, how do they make as much money with a new partner demanding half the profits? Now, granted, they bring in 41 nights of basketball a year.
Mm-hmm.
They also remove the competitor in Auburn Hills for concert dates, which is a big deal. But then you can still split everything down the middle and still come out ahead?
I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me.
Isn't that kind of a strange equation?
There's got to be somebody out there smarter than us to figure that out.
No, I'm missing something here. I don't know what I'm missing. But
unless there's some big cash down payment, right?
Possibly. I don't know.
I don't think Olympia would need any of that.
No. I was assuming.
Unless it's an agreement to squash the MLS.
Well, you got to want, you know. When you have Olympia Entertainment down there, and they've got that building 365 days a year, the Red Wings occupy 41 dates or 42 dates, playoff dates, maybe as many as 50, 51 if they go to the Stanley Cup Finals, which would be great. Then they've got all the concerts they can possibly put in there for the other 310, 315 days a year, right?
Yeah.
Now, obviously, you can't have a concert every night.
Mm.
If you automatically fill the place another 41 days, I mean, that's really nice. That's great. It takes a lot of pressure off your bookings.
Yeah, and if they're going to own these entertainment districts around, then that's more driving more people down.
Well, yeah, I wonder.
They got to build those things first.
Well, you know, Olympia's got, they must have restaurants all over. I mean, there's got to be one Olympia restaurant on every block, I would assume think. You know, they had Hockey Town and I don't know what else in the other area. I don't know how much that brings in or doesn't bring in. But is the lack? See, I think that the lack of the concert competitor is a very bad thing for the consumer.
Yeah. Oh, it absolutely is.
Because they can charge tickets whatever the hell they want. I just don't know if the market. I mean, it seems to me the market has a lot to say about that, because the market can say, no, I'm not going.
Although, okay, are our prices that much cheaper than other markets? That, because most markets, I think Minnesota, I think, has their own independent basketball and hockey arena. And I think that's it. For most places have one big arena, right?
Yes.
LA, of course, is totally different because they're all over the place. Well, New York, because New York has the Barclays and Madison Square.
United Center in Chicago does both.
Does both. Most big markets do both. So are prices that much cheaper than those places? Probably not.
No, because I think the market does set the price.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they make quite a to-do over the fact that the Red Wings or the Olympia would not have that competitor out in Auburn Hills. And I guess that means in terms of the price you pay for the act.
Yeah.
Because maybe the ticket price. I mean, the people pay what they're going to pay. And if you charge too much, a lot of people say, no, I'm not going. And you have a half full house, which is no good.
I believe something good's going to happen for you here on the TV.
Oh, Chris Bryant blasted one.
Yeah, you want to pot it up there?
Son of a bitch.
Cubs know that those guys are a moment away from getting in.
This place is going to blow up.
Yeah, that's why I want to hear it.
Hands one into left center. At the wall. It is good.
Oh, you dropped it.
Wow, he hit that hard. That ball was low. That ball must have been 20 feet off the ground the whole way. Got out of the stadium so fast. He only had one home run in 14 games in the postseason, the National League's home run leader. Cubs have, their power has been a real shortage.
He has more errors than home runs, probably.
Maybe.
Definitely in the World Series.
Yeah, no doubt.
But wait, that's not all.
Oh, another highlight?
Something else happened too, yeah.
Well,
gotta find it.
Am I gonna be happy?
Back at the wall. Into the ivy. Rizzo digging for two.
Oh. It's funny, this is exactly
Am I done being happy?
This is exactly what Madden was talking about. If they can just get those bats going, then it's all, you know, then they're gonna start rolling. Which seems to be been the way for the Cubs. They either get zero or they get 10.
Yeah, and the Cubs winning 3 games in a row is no big deal for this baseball team. Is there another hit?
Yes, sir.
How many highlights do I get to see?
A lot.
Really?
Yeah.
Zobrist? Yes.
Oh, yeah, flat. That ball is flat. Wow. You see that? No God, movement.
Hit the shit out of that ball.
First and third, nobody out. This is all against Boyer, too. And that was Harbaugh just cheering. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Or at least it was Sarah Harbaugh.
What do I get to see now? What's next? They got to win game 5. This thing cannot be over in 4 or 5 games.
Addison Russell hit a ball about 10 feet, and Rizzo scored. So I think that's where we're at now, is 2-1.
Was he out or safe at first?
Of course, you had to ask that.
Now, first, oh, he's safe.
Yeah.
Safe at first.
Yeah, wasn't even close to the bag.
We should probably kept the audio down.
Fair use.
The descriptions and accounts of...
Fair use. Jay got permission.
That you hear the... Nice job, Jay. What's the score now? They're still...
2-1, bases
loaded.
Bases loaded.
And only one out. Woo!
Probably have to end the podcast.
Since everyone knows what happened since everyone already knows what happened with this game, by the time they hear this, it's probably a good idea that we get away.
You're either going to be really bummed or really happy. I forgot about that. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, well.
But hey, finally a lead change, right? Because it was 1-0.
Yeah. How about that? First lead change in 14 games. Jeez. At this point, it probably wouldn't be a bad idea to get into the Lions today, but let's see if there's anything else I can find to avoid it, because I did have a few. The global virginity map shows average age of first sexual experience by country. That's kind of interesting.
Oh, that's fun. Bill Cosby? Did you see that story about Bill Cosby?
What's the Cosby story?
His lawyers filed an appeal to dismiss the case, the criminal case.
Oh, good luck with that.
In the briefings, they wrote, he's legally blind, so it's physically impossible for
him. Oh, he is not.
Drew, it's physically impossible for him to identify
any of the accusers.
Oh.
Cannot see them.
Teach him Braille.
No, no. Well, why does he just go up and feel their hair? Since
yeah,
he
true.
Believe me, he's not gonna feel, not gonna forget what his hair, what their hair felt like.
What a crock of shit that is.
Put a band around his penis and have him go touch their hair. And if he gets hard, then that's the girl.
There you go.
Because that memory boner is so checks. Ingrained. No 79-year-old blind man could possibly defend himself against a claim that he sexually assaulted someone he supposedly met once half a century ago. Without his eyesight, Mr. Cosby could not even determine whether he seen some of the accusers, let alone develop defenses and gather exculpatory evidence.
Did you have a girlfriend that did boner checks?
No, could you?
What?
Oh, I used to go out with somebody who, if there was a really hot girl on TV or maybe, you know,
oh,
just
fun.
Do a boner check.
Really?
See if, yeah.
Well, that's fun.
Zip, zop, zoom, and bop.
But wouldn't you get hard just because you know she's going to check it?
No, it wasn't all the time. It was just be like, you think she's hot? Oh, no, not all. And then that would bring in a boner check. It would call for a boner check.
That's a crazy. I like that idea. That's a good piece of defense by Cosby, huh?
Yeah, brilliant. I wonder how far that's going to go.
Nowhere.
Now you will get ready for the zim zam and the bab and the bibberty, and you will take off your clothes like voo and boom and get ready for the most splendiferous pudding pot.
Oh, God.
Who would think of
creep.
That this guy, I mean, seriously, this is the creepiest thing of all the creepy crap that celebrities have done in the last, I don't know how many years. This is the worst by far.
It's not
he
the worst.
He knocks chicks out so he can screw them.
I think Jackson's worse.
Yeah,
Michael Jackson
it's
is
different
far
arena,
worse.
Though.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, it's, you're right. Ah.
Hey, to that point, too, I'm when Trump keeps talking about how this is the worst, this is another thing he's missing an opportunity.
Did you hear about the girl that Jackson molested, by the way?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that story, just I was going to read
she's
that
12.
On Thursday or Wednesday. Yeah.
It was 12.
Yeah, and of course, as soon as she starts to become a woman, he's no longer interested.
Yep.
Starts writing some pretty fat checks to the family, too.
Didn't you just assume she was a tomboy?
Yes, and she did look like a, she was boyish looking. They
yeah,
said that.
Yeah. But Trump's missing another opportunity when he keeps talking about this email scandal about how it's the worst corruption since Watergate.
Yeah.
Why doesn't he say it's the worst corruption since Whitewater or Bill and Monica?
Or Monica, yeah.
Just
yeah.
Connect
no,
it back.
You're right.
To, he's missing a grand opportunity there.
I don't know. I don't think he's listening to anyone. I don't think he takes any advice from anybody. I really don't.
I guess maybe Watergate sounds better than Whitewater, but if you connect it back to the Clintons in general.
Well, Watergate, too, the president was kicked out, so it kind of kicks her out
well,
by connecting
Bill,
to Watergate.
Bill was impeached by the House.
I know. I know.
I just, he's missing another opportunity. I'm just pointing out every opportunity he's going to miss.
Oh, he's missed a bunch of them already, in my opinion.
Boob.
Yeah, I just really don't think.
Stand him.
You would think there was a committee of people. Well, anybody's running for president, you'd think there'd be a committee who are deciding these things every day. You know, how do we want to approach this? I just think he does it the way he wants to do it. And if anybody offers him advice, he might even be offended. I don't know. I'm not, it just doesn't seem like he takes advice from anyone.
I don't think so.
I know people love that about him, that he's his own man, and that's great and all, but that's what drives me nuts about him.
Sometimes you need advice.
Yes. He doesn't listen to anybody.
But then again, you know, you could have a president like George Bush who listens to people and
the wrong people.
And lets other people, yeah, the wrong people, and they make bad decisions. That
oh boy,
I love those drops; they're so good.
I know.
But the Colin Kaepernick, did you happen to hear he was running a social awareness camp this week of some kind?
Uh huh.
Is he remotely concerned about the fact that he's not playing well in the sport that he makes all his money from?
They have a bye week. They're on a bye this week.
Well, shouldn't he be working on his quarterbacking? Looking at more film?
I would suppose.
Something. I mean, he's playing terrible. Their team's playing terrible,
has
too.
Has he been that bad? I mean, he just started the other day. Or the
he
other
started
week.
Two. I think he started two games.
Yeah.
I don't think he's playing very well.
You know, that, by the way, his protest is the number one thing, according to a poll, that has led to the decline in NFL ratings. And that blows my mind.
What?
Yeah, you know, there's been a lot of focus on the NFL's viewership down 20%, which...
It is really down. I mean, I was looking at some of the games specifically, and I was blown away. The World Series beat everything, by the way. World Series beat football, beat everything.
Great
game
matchup.
Four, Saturday night, which is the worst night for television. Baseball did $17 million. Not that that number is that gigantic. It's the biggest Saturday night number baseball in the World Series has had, I think, since 2009.
But like you've always said, and this is so true, you can't keep going up. It's a percentage of people, you know, it's hard to keep going up
share-wise. But football, the money keeps going up, and they keep the goals that they have. I mean, they're literally talking about tripling their revenue in the next 20 years or something.
Yeah.
You can't just... I don't care if you turn over every fan and empty every dollar out of them. You can't just expect to keep making... I mean...
Is that factoring in, like, streaming the game, too, versus...
Yes.
Like, just watching
their streaming numbers are way off, too, because they act like, oh, we streamed 32 million times. This is last year when they did the one game on Yahoo. Well, the problem is they had autoplay, so anybody that went to Yahoo News in the morning, because it was a game in London, or went to Yahoo to read anything...
Hey, what are college football numbers doing?
I have no idea.
Because, you know what's interesting? I like watching football on Saturday more than Sunday.
Oh, I do, by far.
I mean, by a mile.
Yeah, it's not even close.
And I'll watch multiple games on Saturday. I'll watch, you know, parts of games. I'll watch whole games. I'll watch halves of games. You know, whatever I can do. With football, when the Lions game is over, I just want to see highlights pretty much. I'm not going to sit and watch a whole game.
No, well, I'll watch.
I'm kind of footballed out.
Like, if you have Red Zone, if you watch the end of the games where they bounce around, you know. And they,
yeah, I like that part.
They make it like the quad box or whatever the hell they call it. Right. They move around. That's pretty good. But as far as watching a full game, meh. Outside of the Lions, eh.
Well, what I think is really funny about all this is with football ratings going down, the biggest, by far the biggest pile of money they get is from the networks. And when the networks have a chance to negotiate down, they are going to do everything in their power to get that number down. And guess what else? Guess what's going to happen? Mm. Salaries are going to go down. Everything's going to go down. You can't just keep raising. I mean, they're so inflated. I mean, they spend their ass off on everything. And none of that, I hope their power goes down because it's disgusting the way the NFL throws their power around.
Yeah. Oh, I know. This whole idea, too, of penalizing these celebrations is just ridiculous. Look how much fun those Bills fans had over a dildo on the field.
Well, man.
I think we can handle a little dancing, a little gyrating, a little trash talking, a bow and arrow. It's... I don't know.
Wouldn't that be funny if the NFL started making it okay to throw dildos on the field?
Yeah.
I thought it was so funny.
Players
it's good for the game.
Players pulling their dongs out.
those decisions, believe me, they will turn around. They'll start asking people, go, come up with some end zone dance. Do anything. Go get this TV viewers back. Oh, my God. They just thought their game was so wonderful. It could just grow and grow and grow. No, it can't go up forever.
Well, taking the helmet off, why not? Let them take the helmet off.
I don't know what
that's
all about.
See their faces.
Stupid.
Here's that poll, though. Seton Hall Sports Poll released this on Friday. 56% of those surveys said they think fans are watching less. Because of the stance some athletes are taking by not standing in the national anthem. So they're not self-reporting. It's what they think it is. Well, that's stupid. Never mind.
I think it could be a factor. I just don't think it's a big factor. I can't believe it's a huge factor.
That is what they say was most the number people, one factor. Other factors fans cited as reasons people are watching fewer minutes of football were the presidential election, which I think is big, oversaturation of games.
You think people are paying more attention? They're watching something presidentially related as instead of football?
Oh, yeah.
Like what besides the debates?
Well, they had the debates on two Sundays. The other was on a Wednesday.
But they're losing ratings everywhere. Sunday afternoon, Sunday night, Wednesday. Monday night, Thursday night.
I'd like to see what the cable news channels are doing at night now, but I bet you they're way up.
You know what blew my mind? It was looking at the baseball ratings for the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
Game 4. In Cleveland, what percentage of people do you think were watching the World Series, the share?
In Cleveland?
Yeah, people that had their TVs on, what percentage?
85.
62.
That's it?
Yeah, 62. They had 67 for a game, but I think it was 62 Saturday night. Guess what Chicago was?
What game was that? What game?
Game 4.
Oh, game 4. Chicago?
Yeah.
Chicago's a little bigger, a little split, so if that's 65, I don't know, probably 53.
52.
52.
Pretty close. What were the other 48% watching?
Cavs? Were the Cavs on? Were the Bulls on?
Blackhawks might have been
Fox
on.
Fox News?
I don't know. Just you're in Chicago? My sisters are watching the Cubs. They're not even baseball
let's see,
fans.
That's Saturday night. Maybe college football? Oh.
Yeah, college football, sure.
You know.
That would be one option.
The
no
Buckeyes
doubt.
Game ended before that game started, but, you know.
Notre Dame sure football is big.
Yeah, that ended before the game started, but okay. You never know. They could be like Big Ten. Wisconsin. Wisconsin was at that time. There could be.
Yeah, I suppose. I don't know, 52 just seems really low to me.
Yeah, but there's a lot of competition Saturday night.
But it's the Cubs in the World Series.
I got to tell you. Come on. You know how much of Game 4 I watched?
How much?
None.
What's wrong with you?
I recorded it and saw the score and saw it keep changing. And I just, once the, it was Kipnis that hit the.
Once you see the score, who watches a game when you've seen the score? If it was 3-3? Would you have gone back and watched the whole game?
No, but I would have picked it up there, or I would have seen how they scored. I got hooked. I got hooked on a Boise State Wyoming football
game. Yeah, no, you're a football nut.
Well, Wisconsin and Nebraska was a good game, and so was Tennessee and South Carolina.
The Colin Kaepernick thing, though, I just thought that was. I saw a story today about him and this social progress camp or whatever, and there's Kaepernick talking away about it and. All I could think of was, is this really, it just seems like, first of all, it's bad positioning for him. I mean, he's struggling. He's trying to keep that starting job, I would think. It just seems like it's a distraction from what he should be trying to do, which is be the best quarterback he can be. I mean, if he quietly did stuff, I would think it'd be good, but it just seems like he's more into, every time I hear about him, it has to do with this.
Well, first off, that's all anybody's asking him about. But during a bye week, don't they make you take time off or no?
Yeah, you take some time off first couple days at least, but
yeah.
I don't know. It's just, and it's the same thing with the start of a football game. When these guys are, you know, taking one knee and the anthem singer's on one knee or whatever, it just seems like, do you really want to be thinking about this right now? The game's just about to start and you're thinking about all the Black Lives Matter, what cops do to people for traffic stops and, it just seems like the timing of it, I just don't think it's the right thing.
I understand that, but are the players standing thinking about the country and how great it is and what it means to be free? And
I think they're thinking about kicking somebody's ass in the football field.
Yeah, and some of them are thinking about that stuff in the country, I'm sure. But in other words, I think you're not a robot if you're a football player.
But 2 minutes before a football game starts, what do you think you're supposed to be thinking about? The football game.
Well, if the national anthem's playing, you should be thinking about the national anthem, apparently. I mean, it cuts both ways.
I don't know. I'm sure some people think about how wonderful, how fortunate they are to be able to play football in this country this day and every Sunday or whatever. But
I don't think it was a spur of the moment. Like they're sitting there going, you know what, man, this is just a big injustice. I'm taking a knee. No, it's thought out beforehand.
Right. But I mean, when you're taking a knee and you know there's all these cameras on you and.
Once again, why don't we just scrap the anthem at the beginning of sporting events?
I don't know. I don't mind the anthem. I think it's a nice tradition.
I don't mind it, but.
You know what I do kind of.
Do we really need it? Can we just start the damn game?
I think people like it. I think if you ask people, I think they would generally say they like it. I will say this, though. During the World Series, it seems this is a lot more common. You'll see. And the Yankees do it. The Yankees have done God Bless America in the seventh inning ever since 9/11.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like it's. I don't care for that. I don't know why. It's not that I don't love the song.
It's kind of the same thing, isn't it?
Is the national anthem?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you've already had the national anthem to start the game.
I don't know.
It's a seventh-inning stretch.
Don't you think the reverence for the anthem is lost a little bit because we're playing it before sporting events?
No, I thought that was... I don't know. I always thought that was a positive thing. I never thought of it that way.
I just think it's kind of weird. I don't know.
If you take it out, where else are you going to hear the national anthem?
Yeah, I don't know. I honestly don't know where I'd hear it.
Yeah.
Exactly. So it'll be a special thing when you hear it.
Except you'll never hear it.
4th of July.
Nobody will know the words. If people forgetting words, we'll have nothing but audio of people forgetting the words whenever they sing it. Hey, this is way off the subject, but I just wanted to get this in before we quit because we got to talk about the Lions game too. Did you see the story about the family of this nonverbal diaper-clad disabled man who was sexually assaulted by a Rutgers professor?
What?
Yep. The Rutgers professor, by the way, claims that they were in love.
Well, and you can't ask the guy in the diaper.
This is a female instructor, by the way.
I don't know
male.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, then This is kind of weird, but how can consent be implied if it gets hard?
That's a fair question.
I mean, I don't know. I'm assuming.
It sounds like he got hard.
I'm assuming
the
they'll say no because it's a biological reaction.
Well, he's nonverbal. I mean, he can't talk.
I know. So wouldn't that be his way of consenting?
Yeah, but what's really crazy about this story is the way this professor. Let's see, where does it start here?
What's she a professor of? I always find that funny in these crimes.
Well, she's She's let's see, what is she teaching? Family injury man with cerebral palsy who was sexually assaulted by a former rector of university. He's been awarded $4 million by a judge, mother and brother of the victim. Dr. Anna Stubblefield, sued at Dr. Anna Stubblefield in 2013. Federal judge dismissed the complaint against Rutgers, but awarded DJ's legal guardians, mother and brother, $2 million in compensatory damages, another $2 million in punitive.
She was the chair of the philosophy department, just so you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's unable to speak.
She found a way to justify it.
Needs help eating. Oh, she does. And walking, is forced to wear diapers, is intellectually disabled, according to his mother and brother. Lawsuit stated that DJ's brother attended one of Stubblefield's classes at Rutgers Newark in 2008. Stubblefield, a proponent of facilitated communication, offered to help DJ, 35, at his brother's request. Facilitative communication is a contentious technique used by educators. It helps the disabled communicate, often through typing. Now, she claims that this facilitative communication, through that, he revealed to her that he wanted to have sex. Some people don't even believe in facilitative communication.
That's pretty Weasley.
They think it's a big lump of shit. The West Orange, New Jersey woman claimed that DJ communicated his consent to sexual activity to her, and she'd only been acting out of love. She's put on trial after being accused of raping.
Wait a sec. Oh, whatever.
She's put on trial after being accused of raping the mute diaper wearing man in her office in Newark.
Isn't there some ethical problem, and then she's supposed to be helping this guy, and she's a professor?
Well, of course.
So is she blown out of Rutgers, or does she have some kind of weird tenure?
I think she's long gone. She's serving a 12-year prison sentence.
Oh.
In Stubblefield's written explanation of her sexual interactions with DJ, she wrote he had lowered himself off the bed onto the floor and scooted out the door down the hall to the front room. During the criminal case, the prosecutor said DJ used scooting as a method of communication to get to the fridge if he's hungry or to the sink if he's thirsty. Plans suggested DJ used scooting during the sexual interaction with Stubblefield in order to get away. Oh, that's what the brother said. He didn't understand what was going on, denied the ability other than to scoot out. During the trial, the prosecution had questioned how DJ could communicate if he wanted to stop during another sexual incident on the floor of Stubblefield's new work office. Stubblefield said he could bang on the floor. Crazy case.
Did you mention that he's black?
No, I did not mention he was black.
I don't know what that means.
The teacher is white, by the way. Maybe she's related to the Kardashians. It's crazy.
And he was black.
There's been other cases.
Oh, you see Khloe Kardashian has a new boyfriend?
Yeah.
He's black.
Another basketball player, right?
I don't know if he's a basketball player, but he's black.
Oh, I'm crazy! I'm surprised.
I know, isn't that amazing?
I'm surprised.
Did a Kardashian be dating a black man?
I saw a picture of Kylie in her Halloween costume. I was mad because I thought she looked really good.
Do the 18-year-old?
Yeah.
Do the 18-year-olds, do they only date black guys?
Yeah, Tyga.
Oh, Tyga's still with her?
Yeah.
That guy's the biggest tool, by the way.
How about the fact that she's dating somebody named Tyga?
T-Y-G-A.
Yeah,
I know.
Tyga. That's not your name.
And Tyga, does Tyga have any hits, by the way?
He had one hit. That's so stupid. He had one hit, and I swear he played it at one of the Kardashians' birthday parties, and that's how they got to know him. Like, they paid him to perform.
Oh, please.
Tyga.
Does the other youthful 18-year-old or 17-year-old, a twin, does she date black guys, too?
Yes. That would be Kylie.
Can someone ask the family, what's the matter? I mean, aren't they discriminating against white? Can I sue them because they're not being fair? They're not willing to date white people?
Look at this picture of her.
Aren't they discriminating against white guys?
Look at this picture of her Halloween costume. She is dressed as Christina Aguilera from the Dirty video. Doesn't she look damn good there, though?
Wow.
And look at Tyga.
He's not even good looking.
I know. His real name, by the way,
man,
is...
Man, I wish I was... I mean, you can just be black and look anyway, and they'll go out with you. They don't care.
Oh, a Kardashian?
As long as you're black. You got to be black.
Yeah. Caitlyn's looking. Is she considered a Kardashian?
The mom's dating a black dude. The mom never dated a black dude before, did she?
No. No, she was married to a woman.
She's married to Caitlyn. Action suit?
By the way, that show was on the other night, Keeping Up with the Kardashians, and it was the episode where Caitlyn was going to the ESPY Awards.
Uh-huh.
So she called Kim over, of course, to help dress for it.
And so,
Oh God, how weird.
Julie saved this part and made me watch it. So Caitlin's coming out of the room in different dresses. And at one point, Kim's like, you know, I can see the underwear. You got to get rid of the underwear. And Caitlin goes, well, I kind of need them. She's like, oh, yeah. She forgot that he has a dong down there. And he's like, I kind of need the underwear to hold everything. It was so quick. It's like, well, yeah, of course he needs the underwear. There's a dong under there, man. Like such a girl, though. She was so happy.
That thing is so weird. Reading that book by Linda Thompson was so strange. Bruce doing his she finds a videotape a couple years later, shortly after they split up, of Bruce doing a fashion show for his own camera, dressing up in her clothes.
That'd be weird. And like, if you found, like, say you found a tape of Tess's and she was doing the fashion show, it'd be weird. An adult doing a fashion show is weird.
Oh, it's totally bizarre.
But yeah, doing
the mom had poked it, peeked her head in, and he had the door cracked, and Bruce in there tucking his penis in front of the mirror.
Wait, what?
Linda Thompson's
mother.
What
guy hasn't done that? Especially after seeing
in front of a mirror.
Especially after seeing Silence of the Lambs. No, you guys usually do it as a joke to their girls, right?
I think it happens fairly frequently.
The fruit basket, absolutely.
Let's talk about the Lions real quick.
Oh,
okay.
So pissed.
Last week I was just getting used. Well, already two weeks ago, I was getting used to the idea that Matt Stafford is an MVP candidate. Okay, I'll go along with that. His passer rating is really good. He has a decent game against Washington. He makes the typical fourth quarter rally. They win. They only scored 20 points, but they won. So now after this week, after losing 20-13 today, they put up 33 points in 2 weeks, which is not much offense. What's going on? Why can they suddenly not score until the very end of the game?
I don't know if you'll agree with me on this, but I didn't think he was that bad today.
I thought today was one of his worst games.
Really?
Yeah.
Worse than Chicago?
Probably not worse than Chicago. I saw him miss some receivers, which he hasn't been doing much of.
See, that's funny.
I mean, just really miss them.
I thought he was a victim. It's weird how we both watch the same game and see different things. I thought there were a couple drop balls. I thought the receivers didn't get much space in general.
They were always covered. And that may have been why he threw it 10 feet over the guy's head.
It's just usually it's like, oh, the pass wasn't. The guy's wide open and he missed either high or low like he did to Calvin.
He's been throwing to a lot of wide open receivers this year, but not a lot of wide open receivers today. You know, Ebron was open.
That's kind of how I felt. I got to say this too, by the way, 3-0 when Eric Ebron's not in the lineup.
Very interesting. Yeah, he comes back, catches more balls than he's ever caught in a game, and they score 13 points.
The first catch, by the way, he gets up and flexes.
He's such a jackass. What is wrong with that guy?
And then the next time the ball's thrown to him, he drops it. The second pass.
No, they lead the league in drops. The Lions do.
Of course they do. Marvin Jones had a couple drops, too, which I was kind of surprised to see. I will give Ebron credit, though.
Jones drops a ball almost every game.
I know, and he's not.
He's a dropper, man. Well, he is.
This is what's weird. Bolden's been dropping balls, and he's known as having the best hands.
Absolutely. Did he drop a ball today?
You know, I don't know if he dropped one today or not, but he has this year a couple of them.
I remember him dropping a couple short passes, but one was at his feet.
Yeah. He's had a couple blatant.
Yeah, drops. He has. He's had a couple drops. He has, for sure.
I did think Ebron was pretty good on the touchdown drive.
Yeah. No doubt.
Theo scored. Yep. You know, he got the pass interference. He had a big third down catch. That was also a good drive for Theo Riddick. I don't know. Maybe I'm too hard on Ebron, but he's not. That's what was driving me nuts. After that first catch, Rondae Barber's talking about him like he's the greatest tight end ever and how he had such a great offseason. I'm like, he's missed the last 3 years. Rondae Barber is terrible at doing a game.
No,
especially
he is.
Comparing it to Spielman and was it Charles Johnson that Spielman does the games with?
Yeah.
They're so good.
I know. Spielman's fantastic. He's one of the best.
Barber's
he really is.
A joke.
I would think Spielman will get to the top of that profession at some point.
Yeah, he's really sharp. Now, my biggest complaint, and then we'll get to Caldwell, because that's the second biggest
complaint.
My biggest complaint is Theo Riddick scores that touchdown.
Yes.
At 2:14.
2:14.
2 p.m.
Oh, okay, 2:14. Yeah, right.
The next snap from scrimmage is at 2:22.
Oh, God, I'm so glad you brought that up, because I noticed the same thing twice during the game today. One when I was watching the game, and one when I was fast-forwarding through it later to watch a part of the game I missed because I had to go out and run an errand.
Yeah.
And I'm like, holy shit, how many commercials are there here? Jeez.
I went back to see how long it was, because I was, you know, I always watch it behind.
Right. Why do you do the extra point and then commercials, and then the kickoff and then commercials? That's just bullshit.
I think it's
like,
total
stop
bullshit.
Piling on.
But the problem was, is that they had a review on the on the touchdown catch.
Oh.
So they broke for the review.
That's right.
Came back, did the extra point, broke for the extra point, kicked off, broke for after the kickoff, and then came back 8 minutes between snaps from scrimmage.
Ridiculous.
And the NFL wonders why they're down 20%. It's because the you know, baseball talks about their pace of play. The NFL might need to skip a few commercials or charge double or whatever.
Stop it!
Well, baseball, their reviews aren't exactly lightning speed either. What the fuck are those guys doing? I watch the first two the replays they show within 25, 30 seconds, and I go, oh, he's out, or he's safe. And they usually, the announcers say the same thing. And what are they doing for the next 2 minutes?
Same with college football, too. Well, college football is usually on top of it and gets it pretty quick. Now that they have that little screen they bring out.
Yes.
It's so adorable. but the Lions lost today, in my opinion, because of Jim Caldwell.
Okay.
100%.
Well, now the onside kick, which is just part of it, but there's, what, 3 minutes left or two? How much time was there? A little under 3 minutes. 2:57, maybe?
Yeah.
They had three timeouts.
They had all three timeouts. Why are you not? And they're playing Brock Osweiler. Even if you're not playing the Houston Texans and Brock Osweiler, you would want to kick deep. You have the two-minute warning and the three timeouts.
Well, field position is going to be important if you have to go on a long drive. Anyway, you need 7 points.
You need
points.
A touchdown. It's not just a field goal. You right. need a touchdown.
Yeah.
That is the dumbest thing I've seen him do, Drew.
No, that was dumb. That was really dumb. And how did he defend it?
He said that, you got to stop the run and, anyway and things of that nature.
Oh, yeah, he says things of that nature. So much is the biggest crutch. I'm hearing more people using the same crutch, by the way. It seems like they're sports people. Does he start a trend?
Yeah, and there's a new king of at the end of the day, by the way.
Who's that?
Dabo Sweeney.
Oh, Dabo Sweeney.
If you watch any...
He says nothing, Mark. He never answers the question, and he says nothing. He goes on and on. He never shuts up.
Nope.
Have you ever said, they ask a question, 2 minutes, Dabo Sweeney yapping about nothing related to the question, and yeah, he says at the end of the day like three times, and then he's done, and you're like, what the fuck do I say now? I don't even know what was that.
He had a couple at the end of the days after the Florida State game, but I think the other week where they had a big win at the end, was it against North Carolina State maybe? I can't remember who they beat, but he had like four of them in a row. I'm like, at the end of the day, what are you doing, Dabo? Oh,
Jesus, it's such a crutch. It is the worst crutch, too.
But going
back
to Caldwell, that's what he said. He's like, well, you got to stop the run at some point. It's like, okay, you're right. You have to stop the run, regardless of where they have the ball. So if you're going to stop the run and you can stop the clock, why don't you kick it deep? It made no sense.
He said we couldn't stop the run, meaning like I had to kick onside to get the ball back because we couldn't stop the run. I thought I heard him say that.
Oh, okay. I took it differently then. I'll have to look at the quote again. But that's stupid.
Well, yeah. You can't stop the run. You know the run's coming and you can't stop the run. I mean, if you can ever stop the run, you can stop it when a team is trying to get the final first down to kill a game because so many teams are afraid to throw there.
They didn't.
I don't know why.
Wait a sec. They didn't do that bad of stopping the run until that drive, really.
That's what I thought.
They didn't
put much offense up.
That's when they couldn't stop the run. That's my whole problem with it, is that Houston's got an awful, terrible offense. Brock Osweiler cannot throw deep to save his life. Send a run blitz and stop everybody. It made no sense.
No, I agree. Besides the onside kick, which was getting roundly criticized, by the way, I didn't hear anyone standing up for him. What else did you dislike?
It's funny because I usually, like we were talking about being behind, speeding past, I usually don't watch the kickoffs because so many times they just...
No, I don't either. I usually don't.
There's two breaks there and so many
Or the
times.
Extra point, unless I see that it was missed when I get to the
then
back
you,
to
then
play.
Then you go back, yeah. Right. But kickoffs are generally pretty boring to me. So when I saw that Houston starting like on the 45, I'm like, oh, wow, they had a huge return. And I backed it up and about shit my pants when I saw that they onside kicked.
Oh, yeah.
I was like,
you thought they had a big return.
I thought they had a big return because of where they were starting on the field. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. You just don't do that. But the other one, too, is not reviewing the DeAndre Hopkins catch and fumble.
Oh.
Which he addressed.
What did he say?
That was with 8:15 left in the third, right in the middle of the field. But, you know, the Lions were down 14-3 at that time. I thought it was a clear fumble. It might not have gotten overturned, which is probably why he didn't challenge it. But there's a reason you have two challenges.
Right. I know. It seems like everybody takes him to the locker room after the game.
In a close game like that, the timeout. Risk the timeout. Just do it.
By the way, can we find some Dabo Sweeney audio, possibly?
Yeah, let me, you know.
Because he is the worst. I'd love to play some just so people can hear how bad it is.
Yeah, enough bitching about the Lions, I suppose. I don't know.
That was just a dumb game to lose. There's no way they should have lost that game.
Houston's garbage. They're not
Is Houston's defense any good?
Well, they're 5-0 at home. Their defense is it's okay, but their offense is atrocious.
I just think Stafford should put up 28 points minimum every game.
Yeah.
I know it's asking a lot, but he's an MVP candidate 2 weeks ago.
Let's not forget, apparently he just can't win on the road. I mean, that three-game winning streak, all those games were at home.
That's true.
Nope. Let's see.
I just never put as much emphasis on that as I should. It's funny, you talk about road and home all the time, even especially about college. And I don't always think about that.
I think it matters way more in college than it does in the NFL.
Probably.
It has to have an effect. All right, let me see. Where's old Clemson?
God, after the... Not the Florida State game, although that's perfectly relevant audio as far as I'm concerned. There's another game where he babbled. I mean, babbled and babbled and babbled, and I couldn't even remember the question.
No, he knows what it is.
No, he's like, follow the bouncing subject. What's he talking about?
Here you go, Jay. Here he is post game.
To achieve financial security.
Oh, shut up, Northwest. Nobody signed Northwest.
On the field with the
with
reporter?
My girl.
Okay.
My girlfriend. Aaron? No, my girlfriend, Samantha Ponder.
Oh, she's hot. Aaron was just annoying the shit out of me yesterday. I can't stand Aaron Andrews.
You've seen that picture with me and Sam, right?
No.
I'll show you if you really want.
I don't
want
to see it.
I think she's so beautiful.
She is. She's very pretty.
And she wants to talk about football all day.
Back down to Samantha with Emma.
Well, Coach, you know it's not an easy place to play. You get your first win in Tallahassee. But how would you describe the last 2 minutes of this game?
Insane.
Well, that's what championships are made of. You know, you got to keep playing. It's four quarters.
What?
I was a little disappointed, obviously, in the second quarter.
But you leave the subject any second now.
A lot of penalties. Hey, what a game.
Wait, I mean, where are you going?
Expect anything less. Florida Wait. State, Clemson.
What?
Hats off to Jimbo and their staff, man. Those guys
played. Did we miss the question?
It's a shame somebody's got to lose this game, but it was our time. You know, we were doing
What about the last 2 minutes?
Guys just hung in there.
He's a complete shame machine. Right here.
Oh, I know.
He made a boneheaded mistake. They fooled us. And give them credit because it was a great setup by them and kind of got us early, but he bounced back. And what a great.
Wait, what about the last 2 minutes that she asked about?
It's Wednesday
2 minutes ago.
3:20 to go in the game. What we're going to do? And we go right down the field, Joe Leggett. Awesome. And, you know, we were at our best when we needed to be.
The last 2 minutes, that's what she's trying to say.
Well, just you know, great design of the play. And, again, guys just kept playing. Great job with the protection.
Just kept playing? That's how they got wide open?
Great job by Deshaun. A couple
times
he kind of
bossed
some time.
You take forever to say nothing.
And allowed him to get a little more open. But, listen, wasn't perfect, but...
What?
We're 8-0, and we were at our best when we needed to be, especially defensively right
just
there.
Just being wide open.
You know, again, man, that number four, I hope he can come back next year.
She didn't ask about number four.
What a great football player, but, you know, hats out to the crowd here. It was a great night for college football. But at the end of the day, you know, this is our ninth road win in a row. That's an all-time school record.
And nobody asked you about that.
In Tallahassee, a place where we haven't been able to finish. It's pretty special. So good to see our guys finish tonight and just handle adversity, keep playing, and find a way to win. That's what it's all about.
What?
Congratulations, Coach. I'm going to get...
Oh, my God. He did say nothing. It was a bunch of cliches.
No, I know. It's ridiculous.
I love that story.
I think I only heard two at the end of the days there. I'm kind of bummed.
Yeah, I was kind of bummed about that. But the bouncing subject, he's unbelievable. What about, did you see number four talk after that?
No, Deshaun.
Oh, my God.
Why?
I can't understand him, for one. And he was talking... He's talking really. He's kind of a low talker.
Yeah, boy. Here he is after NC State that overtime.
Okay.
Game.
This is a babble fest.
protect and grow.
I just watched your ad, Northwest Mutual. Get off my screen. Bring them together into that's my biggest pet peeve.
Can you believe the shit?
Watch a commercial and they have to show you the same damn one.
Can you believe some of the stuff you're looking up to that has a commercial in front of it? You're like, really? You want to sponsor that?
Mutual. We help you live life differently.
Like a nip slip or something?
And there's a billboard for it, too. The same thing.
Topic show.
Which I don't know if you can hear me, but take us through the final sequence of plays. They missed the field goal.
He's not going through the final sequence of plays, I'm telling you right now.
Just a day at the office, man.
Cliche.
Just a quiet, nonchalant day at the office. Unbelievable. First of all, hats off to NC State.
No, take us through the last sequence of plays. Where's the last sequence of plays?
But you just keep fighting. And I'll tell you what. Great job getting the fourth and one. Unbelievable job by Deshaun and Artavis. Our guys just continue to overcome.
What are you talking about?
But Marcus
is he deaf? Can he not hear?
Two biggest plays of the
my
year.
My God, do you from ever a stop junior, talking? Right?
No.
It doesn't get any better than that. Just awesome. How about your quarterback? He just keeps delivering in clutch situations. Yes. He's a winner. He's a winner. And the one thing you want in a quarterback is a guy that knows how to
yelling.
Win. That's the epitome of number four. What's this mean win for you guys?
I think he knows your guy's name.
What's this win mean for you guys? Well, it means we've won 20 in a row at home, and it means we're 7-0.
It's amazing how he knows the record.
We're still in the hunt. We got a chance to win 12, but you can't win 12 till you win 8. We need an open day. Lord have mercy. We got to learn how to hold on to the football.
Who asked you about that?
Just keeps us on track for our big goals. Congratulations, coach.
God, he hardly even talks anymore.
Where? Oh
God, what a blabbermouth.
I'm losing my mind. I know he had an at the end of the day fest in one of these post games.
I think it might have been. What game? That was NC State?
Yeah. Was that.
I think I heard this yeah, fest.
Let's try after Louisville. No! I'm taking any money I have in Northwestern Mutual and putting it elsewhere.
Well, it's kind of difficult with you talking like that.
Which is zero.
I'm trying to think of the game or the what it was sponsored in.
I'm kind of interested in all his cliches and how he doesn't answer the question now, Drew. It's kind of hilarious.
I know. It's and he yells. He's always yelling. It doesn't matter what the question is.
Well, we want to be 12-0, and you can't win 12 till you win 5. So, there's a great win. Listen, Louisville played their hearts out. We stuck it up in the third quarter. We had the right plays, but we fumbled the ball.
Was it the significance of the win?
At the end of the day.
Oh, there's one.
At the end of the day.
Two.
You either have the heart or you don't. You have the will to win or you don't.
Cliche.
And what can you say, man? Our fans were awesome.
Three.
This is 19 in a row at home. And we're moving on to the next one. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
What Deshaun was able to do down the stretch. A guy falls on his knee. He's out there a little hobbled. What can you say about your quarterback tonight?
Well, here's what's great about tonight.
No, about your quarterback.
I mean, you got balls that are tipped, perfect throws, interceptions, some crazy things. You throw a touchdown pass to Leggett. He gets a fumble, but they kept playing. We always talk about just play the next play. But at the end of the day, coaches get way too much credit.
He can't wait to say it.
Game, I know.
Players make plays. That's how you win football games.
Another cliche.
We didn't make enough of them in the third quarter. I love my staff because they put the players in position to be successful. And in the fourth quarter, when you had to have it, Clemson tough.
He's just yelling.
We're built for this. We're built for games like this. And those guys got the heart of the champion.
Since he's a nice guy, though.
Oh,
love my
yeah.
Staff, love my team,
I can see
fans.
Playing for him. He's in
I don't think he knows shit about football.
I'm just telling you.
Well, at the end of the day. Take you a while to get out of here. Good luck.
You know what always kills me about these coaches in college football are the state troopers that accompany
them. Oh, I know. It's such a power thing, isn't it?
Yes. Well, it's a state institution. Of course, we're going to have state officers. Or,
Frank Beamer always had the state troopers around him. It's like, come on. Like somebody's going to maul him leaving Virginia Tech's football field after he's just won his sixth game in a row.
Now, Clemson needs it because they always rush the field. That's like a tradition there to run on the field no matter what game it is. But I was laughing yesterday, or Saturday, yeah, yesterday, when the Clemson-Florida State game, when Jimbo Fisher was going ape shit about that call.
Oh, yeah.
Which he should have, because it was a ridiculous
call. He got an unsportsmanlike call, didn't he?
Yeah, because his quote was, if you read his lips, sir, you fucked us. Pointing right at the official. So basically, because he saw what a bad call it was, he gets penalized. But what was cracking me up about it? This is like a skinny old state trooper standing behind him. And I'm like, this guy's going nuts. Do your job, man. You're a cop. Are you supposed to break this up?
Oh, man.
Oh, God.
All right. Well, I think we covered it all. And I got to watch the rest of this Cubs game.
Are you nervous?
So, yeah, I'm nervous. They're winning 3-1. Hopefully.
It'll be fine.
People are going, oh, dude, I didn't even worry about it. They won last night. So, anybody have a good one. And we'll catch you tomorrow on this here podcast. I don't know who will be here, but maybe we might have Maz joining us.
Yeah, might be posted early because it's Drew's birthday.
Ah.
We're all going to celebrate. Oh, wait, no, it's because it's Halloween.
Have a good one, everybody. We'll see you.